This is Encounter on VOA. Here's Carol Castillo.
Welcome to Encounter on the Voice of America. On this politics edition of the program, the suspense is over. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden chooses Senator Kamala Harris as his running mate. This is a historic decision, as Senator Harris from the state of California will be the first woman of color and South Asian ancestry on a major party ticket. Hello again, I'm Carol Castiel. We are 80 days away from the presidential and congressional elections on November 3rd. Many analysts are calling this one of the most consequential elections in modern U.S. history, taking place during a once-in-a-century pandemic, which has induced an economic downturn, the likes of which we have not seen since the Great Depression. It is also taking place in the aftermath of nationwide protests against excessive police violence toward African Americans and for racial justice, sparked by the death of George Floyd on May 25th. A white Minneapolis police officer knelt on his neck for nearly 8 minutes until he died. Some listeners may recall that Democratic vice presidential nominee Senator Kamala Harris vied during the primaries to be the Democratic nominee for president. However, she terminated her campaign and threw her full support behind Biden. Her choice has electrified and unified the Democratic Party in advance of the elections. Kamala Harris not only identifies as African American, but she is also the daughter of immigrants, an Indian mother and a Jamaican father, both of whom met at university and became accomplished professionals. The first-term senator previously served as San Francisco District Attorney and California Attorney General. Former Congresswoman from the state of Maryland, Donna Edwards, wrote this in a recent opinion editorial in the Washington Post, quote, "The Democratic Party is a broad and diverse coalition, but Black women represent its most loyal voting bloc. In 2016, we cast 94% of our votes for Hillary Clinton, while a majority of white women chose President Trump. We punched above our weight in 2018, turning out above the national average," close quote. Well, these facts were not lost on Democratic nominee Joe Biden, who served as vice president for America's first African-American president and who owes his nomination to a great degree to Black voters. In the official launch of the Democratic campaign on August 12, Senator Kamala Harris made a strong case against the Trump administration.
"The president's mismanagement of the pandemic has plunged us into the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. And we're experiencing a moral reckoning with racism and systemic injustice that has brought a new coalition of conscience to the streets of our country demanding change. America is crying out for leadership."
After this devastating critique of President Trump, Kamala Harris then described the type of leadership Joe Biden and she would provide if elected in November.
"But let's be clear, this election isn't just about defeating Donald Trump or Mike Pence. It's about building this country back better. And that's exactly what Joe and I will do. We'll create millions of jobs and fight climate change through a clean energy revolution. Bring back critical supply chains so the future is made in America. Build on the Affordable Care Act so everyone has the peace of mind that comes with health insurance. And finally, offer caregivers the dignity, the respect, and the pay they deserve."
Senator Kamala Harris, Democratic vice presidential nominee. U.S. President Donald Trump has characterized Senator Harris as, quote, "nasty and a radical left failure." Even though her policy positions are more akin to the moderate middle of the Democratic Party spectrum. Campaigning during the national coronavirus pandemic will pose unprecedented challenges for both sides. Raucous rallies will have to give way to more virtual settings, a reality which will especially displease President Trump, who thrives on the adoration of large crowds. Well, without further ado, let's turn to our favorite political analyst, John Fortier, director of the Democracy Project at the Bipartisan Policy Center, and Jim Kessler, senior vice president for policy at Third Way. Both gentlemen join me via Microsoft Teams. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Carol.
John Fortier, what's the significance and importance of the first woman of color and an Asian American woman on a national ticket, Kamala Harris?
Well, I think it's an important choice. As you mentioned, it's historic. I also think it was probably the most sensible and obvious choice given Joe Biden's criteria and where we are in politics. He said that he was going to select a woman. He said that early on. He ruled out picking a man. And of course, with the Black Lives Matter movement being a strong force in politics today, selecting an African-American, African-Americans are a key voting bloc in the Democratic Party. They've been supportive of Joe Biden. They helped him through the primaries. And she's a senator from the largest state. So, I mean, for all those reasons, I think it was a solid choice. Does the vice presidential candidate make much of a difference in the election? I think not. The evidence is that we talk about it a lot. We think it's going to dramatically change the dynamic of the race. But really, it is between the top two contenders. If you're thinking about voting for Joe Biden on the one hand or Donald Trump on the other, you're not really looking to say, well, who's got the better vice president? You've got a pretty good sense right there. So I think she was a safe, solid choice. She brings history to it as well. But I also don't think it's going to make a dramatic effect on the election as it stands.
Jim Kessler, do you think that she, in this case, might make a bit of a difference more than what John Fortier just said about normally what the vice presidential candidate brings in terms of maybe enthusiasm? What's your take in general about the selection of Kamala Harris?
I think it's a great choice. I think it will help Joe Biden. I agree with John. These aren't usually game changer choices, the vice president, but I do think it will be a positive. And in any election, a positive really matters. I think there's something significant that she is considered the safest choice, yet she is a woman who is African-American and of Asian descent, and it shows, you know, how qualified she is. The reason why I think this choice could be helpful for Joe Biden is there are two blocks of voters that are going to be essential for his victory. The first is the African-American urban base of the Democratic Party. And I think she will help there. She will help excite that base, particularly the women African-American voter. The other is the suburbs. The suburbs turned on Donald Trump in the 2018 midterms. They delivered Nancy Pelosi the majority in the House of Representatives. Kamala Harris will sell in the suburbs, particularly among college-educated white voters. So I think with those two voting blocks, she's a real plus. And she's a good fit for Joe Biden as well.
Jim and I both said some nice things about Kamala Harris. To put a couple of things on the other side of the ledger, because you know, I definitely think she is a good choice. You mentioned that she's in the solid middle of the Democratic Party. You know, I think there's some dispute about that. I think certainly when she ran for president, she was not in the same lane as Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. But if you look at her voting record in the Senate, it's very progressive, one of the most progressive by neutral measures, political science measures. She's the sort of second most liberal member, both in the last Congress and this Congress. So it's a liberal party. She's a little bit to the left of Joe Biden. And on the experience front, I think there have been worse. There have been people with less experience. But she's also somebody who's relatively new to Washington. She does represent a big state. She's been on the campaign trail. I think that's all to the good. But she's someone who's been a senator in Washington for about 3.5 years or so. And that's some experience, but it's certainly not like the Joe Biden providing the all years of experience for Barack Obama or Dick Cheney for George W. Bush. She's the junior member of the ticket in terms of experience by far.
Well, Jim Kessler, let's pick up on what John was saying. How do you see some drawbacks with respect to Kamala Harris? How will the Republicans take advantage of her candidacy to criticize her?
Republicans have actually been split. Part of the Republican Party has said that she's a radical on the left, and the others say she's a real disappointment to the Bernie wing, and they're going to have to decide which one it is. When she ran for president, you could tell that Kamala Harris was struggling about whether she wanted to be in that progressive lane or in that mainstream Democratic lane, and she never really found her footing. She did not run an impressive presidential race in 2020 in the primary. Likewise, neither did Joe Biden in 2008. I don't think how they ran for president is really an indication of how skilled somebody necessarily is as a politician or how they will be on the ticket. I do believe that Harris's sensibilities are mainstream Democratic sensibilities. I do believe she comes from the pragmatic wing of the Democratic Party. But Republicans will definitely try in the end to paint her as a radical. And they will try and paint Joe Biden as a radical. I don't think it's an easy sell. But, you know, this race, Republicans are going to have to do things that aren't easy. They're going to have to change Americans' view of Joe Biden from a centrist and a pragmatist and a mainstream Democrat into something different, or else they're going to lose. So they've got to throw some long balls, and they will use Harris to try and do that. Whether it's successful, we'll see.
turning back to you, John Fortier, it does seem that no matter who is on the stage, the Republicans, and particularly President Trump, has taken to calling all Democrats the radical left and using that as an epithet. And let's be clear, I don't think that's really accurate. We have more centrist members like Joe Biden, and I'll take your point. Maybe from her voting record, Kamala Harris is more on the progressive. But I think Jim Kessler also said she's very much a pragmatic, and she certainly doesn't belong in the so-called Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren lane. So to you, what is the Republican strategy against this ticket? What will they run on besides calling her nasty and somehow a radical left? I mean, what other tactics are there, in your view, besides these types of name calling?
Well, look, I do think that, to be fair, I think both parties have moved left and right. Our politics is more polarized. You look at Joe Biden's record. Joe Biden has probably always been somewhere in the middle of the Democratic Party, but he's moved significantly to the left, starting, you know, from issues that Kamala Harris criticized him for, like busing in the early 1970s, to much more progressive positions. So the party is to the left and Republican voters are to the right. And for Donald Trump to appeal to them, he's going to make that point. I mean, I think there are two problems that Donald Trump has at this point. One of them is that he would have faced without the coronavirus, that Joe Biden is, as much as he was the vice president, he's still something of an unknown. And the Republicans are going to try to define him and get regular Republicans coming back to vote for the ticket. And that's going to be about emphasizing aspects of the Democratic Party that have moved left. The other big problem, of course, is the economy and the coronavirus effects. If Donald Trump could have run on peace and prosperity, looking back in January or February when things were going pretty well, that's a strong position for an incumbent to run on. I think he's going to have to show that there's some change or that they're overcoming these very, very grave problems which are affecting governments around the world and are hard to overcome. So I think those are the two challenges he has. But I don't think it's wrong for him to really define Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in a way that will resonate with many Republican voters, even if it makes Democratic voters unhappy.
Jim Kessler, feel free to react to what John just said. But I wanted to ask you also with respect to the future of the Democratic Party. Joe Biden has said that he sees himself as a bridge. Now, if he wins, he may not want to, you know, run for re-election. Therefore, Senator Harris, that is Kamala Harris, the vice president, should they win, you know, would be set up as the future leader of the Democratic Party. How does the party see that going forward?
The Democratic Party is becoming increasingly diverse racially and ethnically. And I think the future of the party is next generation leaders that frankly are non-white. And this is sort of the next phase of the Democratic Party. Hakeem Jeffries is very likely to be the next Democratic Speaker of the House after Nancy Pelosi. He's African American. I think there's a very high likelihood that the next Democratic presidential nominee after Joe Biden will be a non-white person, and good chance that person will be a woman as well. Part of that reason is Republicans are becoming less and less diverse as a party. And I think that is a problem for the Republican Party. And it's particularly when you look at the suburbs, I think a lot of voters are saying, do I want to be part of that club, this party that seems very intolerant of other races? And the danger for the Democratic Party is that it becomes too far left. That's always the danger for the Democratic Party. This is not a overly progressive or liberal country. The electorate is not that way. And the Electoral College, which picks presidents and the Senate, which is essentially a rural body, they are going to lean more towards the center. So I think there's always a challenge for Democrats, the danger of going too far left.
We'll have more in just a moment. But first, you're listening to Encounter on the Voice of America. Our guests are John Fortier, director of the Democracy Project at the Bipartisan Policy Center, and Jim Kessler, from whom you just heard. He's senior vice president for policy at Third Way. Both join me via Microsoft Teams as we continue to social distance during the pandemic. We are discussing the upcoming November elections and the choice of the first woman of color and South Asian descent, California Senator Kamala Harris, as the running mate for Democratic nominee Joe Biden. This is a reminder that our Encounter podcast is available on our website at voanews.com/encounter. You may also follow us on Twitter at Carol Castiel VOA or connect with us on Facebook. Well, here's a shout out to one of our all-time loyal fans, Mark Versteeg from Australia. We appreciate your loyalty, Mark. If you want to hear your name and home country on the air, please send an email to encounter@voanews.com, or better yet, like us and leave a comment on our Facebook page. John Forte, I want to go into the mechanics of the elections. It's all well and good to have a good ticket, what most people consider a pretty good Democratic ticket, Biden and Harris now. The polls are leaning toward Joe Biden, national polls. But if one can't get out and vote or make sure that their mail-in ballot counts, then that's going to be troublesome. And the reason why I bring that up is because President Trump in particular has been delegitimizing mail-in ballots, something we've talked about on this program so many times. Notwithstanding some of the problems with them, they are going to be very important in this election during a pandemic. Older voters, others don't feel comfortable going to the polls. There may be fewer polling stations open. So the question is, it appears that the Republican strategy now is, in a sense, to undermine the election because they don't have a lot of issues to run on. The economy is down in the dumps. So let me ask you, what do you make of the criticism, for example, of the post office, again, another critical entity in the election? They're going to be delivering, right, the ballots and so forth. And of course, I'll never forget that Jim Kessler even said that the post office will probably be on the ballot this election as an issue. Who would have thought?
Well, look, I do think we've divided along some of the similar lines that we tend to divide on about changes in the election that are about access to the elections versus integrity of the elections. Donald Trump has been harping on those differences. Look, I think there are legitimate issues about making sure voters get to vote, but I also think we should stress there are many issues about creating a kind of chaos and a lot of the changes at the last minute, which can be bad for voters who want to vote as well. So I think the issue of the post office is there, but I think some of the bigger issues are having states be able to run these elections in effective ways. I'm not somebody who's a big fan of lots of voting by mail, but I think we're going to need some more this election. And yet, I think we saw some push early on that we would move in such dramatic ways to voting by mail that I think it would have endangered our election, that we would have had a number of states who really couldn't pull it off and would have caused problems for voters. We're going to see very different results in different states. Some states are already there. Some states are going to move to more. Other states are going to do some more voting by mail. I also want to stress the importance of the vote in person and the vote early in person. If you're a voter, I mean, I think you can do something to help. I mean, one is to just check your registration and get a ballot early and get your ballot in early, because I don't think any of this waiting to the last minute or, you know, some of the possible lawsuits and other things that are going to change the election system on the eve of election day are really that helpful. I think what's helpful is getting a vote in early, hopefully having most of the vote counted on election night. I know there are people who say we should not be surprised if we wait for the result. Well, I think that's partly true. I also don't think we should encourage practices that push that result far, far out. So I hope we can run elections that are relatively clear and well run, and we're running them under tremendously difficult circumstances, both because of coronavirus and because of attempts to change how we vote in radical ways right before the election.
Well, turning to you, Jim Kessler, all of what John said is perfectly understandable, but what is puzzling many people are the overt attempts by President Trump in particular, who seems to want to deliberately suppress turnout by delegitimizing mail-in ballots, which are part of every election, but are going to be more important than ever during this pandemic. And you would think that if you want to have an election with integrity, that the leader of the nation would do everything in his power to help foster a free and fair election and therefore fund the post office and not institute cuts, which the new postmaster general, who was a donor to President Trump, is doing. He's instituting cuts at a rather inopportune time. These cuts are slowing down deliveries at a time, as I said, when mail-in voting will be set to increase no matter what, especially during the pandemic. People can definitely go out of their way, and they all should vote early, try to go in person, but it's going to be harder. And it seems odd, many people think, that you have a president and a Republican Party that seem to be trying to deliberately sabotage that by withholding funds and verbally saying, you know, we're not going to accept the election results unless they come on election night. It doesn't seem right.
I don't think it's odd at all. This president is selfish and reckless and thinks only of himself and is crooked. Okay, I'm just going to cut to the heart of it. And he's going to do whatever he can to win. And he will do it by measures that are fair and unfair. That being said, Democrats are messing this up. I agree with John Fortier. Democrats need to spread the message to their voters. You go out there and you vote. Put on a mask and line up on election day and vote. Get your ballot early and get it in early and vote. Find the places where they have early polling stations and vote. And for some places, yeah, mail it in. But Democrats are putting fear in people about going out to vote. And the truth of the matter is, Democrats can't win this election unless Democratic voters go out and vote. And believe me, Donald Trump isn't telling his voters it's unsafe for you to get out and vote. If there's one thing that worries me about how Democrats are prosecuting this election, it is the fear they are putting into people about voting. If you can go to a Safeway and you can go to a CVS and you can go to a gas station, you can also go to a polling station and vote.
All right. Well, point well taken. But here's what Democratic Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, whom you referred to just a minute ago, Jim Kessler, said in a tweet just last week, quote, "The effort to destroy the post office is part of a continuing conspiracy to steal the election from the most corrupt administration in American history." He says the entire crime family must be held accountable. Anyway, that's of course.
I agree with him. I agree with him 100%.
Okay.
Nothing about Trump's nature is going to change. So we've got to go out there as Democrats and vote.
All right. Well, I'm sure that the Democrats will get your message and we shall see. But as we close, back to you, John Fortier, the Senate, again, it's going to be critical. Tell us why and if anything has changed in your view with regard to who's going to prevail in the Senate. You both said in an earlier program that it looks like the Senate may lean Democratic. That is, it's currently held by the Republicans, but it may be that the Democrats can win the majority. Do you still stand by that? And if so, why is that important? Why would that make a difference should Biden and Harris win in November?
Well, if Biden and Harris win, I think we're pretty confident the House is going to remain in Democratic hands. And so if the Senate goes to Democratic hands, it A, allows Democrats to do a lot legislatively, particularly if they, as some have been talking about, move to limit or get rid of aspects of the filibuster, requiring a supermajority vote in the Senate. You could imagine it would also be helpful for things like a Supreme Court nomination, which the Senate, of course, confirms, or other nominations. I actually don't think before I said absolutely that the Senate leans Democratic, but I certainly believe that it has moved in a much more Democratic direction. You know, I think Republicans are going to get one obvious seat in Alabama. Democrats are going to get a couple others. The other seats on the table are Democratic possible pickups. And I certainly would look to places like Susan Collins in Maine and Tom Tillis in North Carolina or maybe in Iowa. And there's a longer list if Joe Biden does very, very well. So I'm not sure that I think it absolutely leans towards Democrats. They have a much better chance. And if Joe Biden wins by a significant amount, they have the possibility of many more seats just because almost all of the seats that are now leaning a little bit Republican are held by Republicans are possible pickups for Democrats, whereas Republicans don't have very many in that category on the other side or any.
Well, Jim Kessler, you get the last word. If the Democrats get their act together and get out and vote, preferably physically, go vote at the polls. What are your expectations for the Senate, in particular for the Democrats? Will they pick up Maine, North Carolina, Iowa? What are your thoughts?
Right now, Democrats have 47 seats. Republicans have 53. My expectations is after the elections, I think Democrats will have 51 or 52 seats. I think this is a tough cycle for Republicans. I do think Joe Biden is going to win. I think he's going to win by a sizable margin, and he will have coattails to bring folks over. And there's a couple of Senate seats that really shouldn't be in jeopardy for Republicans that I think are. And I would add to that list Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. I think there's a chance he loses that seat.
Well, we shall see, and we will bring you back, however, before the general election for sure, hopefully in a couple of weeks after the two-party conventions. So on that note, I'm afraid that's all the time we have on this politics edition of Encounter. I'd like to thank my guest, John Fortier, director of the Democracy Project at the Bipartisan Policy Center, and Jim Kessler, senior vice president for policy at Third Way. Gentlemen, thanks for a terrific conversation, and see you again after the conventions.
Thank you.
Encounter was produced in Washington with technical assistance from Rick Pantaleo. I'm Carol Castiel. Join me again next week for another Encounter on The Voice of America.